Yeah, Phil Perry reported during our pregame show that this past week, Drake May did get more than the normal number of reps that a backup quarterback would get in preparing for a team. And that's more of an orientation, a weekly orientation. So whereas you might say, okay, this guy's going to get 8 reps and Jacoby's going to get 14 or even more, 16 and 4, they're making sure that Drake May gets more reps during practices to see things and to develop. But I really do think that ideally, I really believe the Patriots would be quite happy to be 5-3 with Jacoby Brissett and be able to say, you know what? Drake can sit all year. Just get better. We'll cross that bridge when we need to with him. And I think that that would be their ideal. I think that they are fully committed to having him sit as long as flipping possible.
5-3, Jacoby Brissett all year, Keith. 5-3, Mayo might get into the Hall of Fame before Kraft. What a start.
I got to tell you, I heard Curran say 5-3, and I was like, man, I thought I kind of positioned my, I thought I outflanked everybody by going to 3-0.
No, he's already doing 8 games.
No, he's outflanked me.
Now, he also said that's not a prediction. He was just saying for the sake of this argument.
But it's out there. It's on the record. 5-3. I said 5-3. They're sticking with Jacoby Brissett.
So I also think that like a win. First, we have the one win is what we have so far.
Yeah.
I don't think that buys.
Plus this weekend against Seattle and then next week against the Jets.
Thursday, yeah, three. So then they're 3-0. I don't think one win, though, buys you as much time as you might think, because everybody we're so obsessed, and like I'm guilty of it, like recency bias. Mm-hmm. You know, just the classic thing. Oh, you win a title in this town, you'll never have to buy a beer again. People kind of forget, or you do something stupid, then that's the thing that they point at, and they don't really remember the. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yes, 100%.
I feel like if you win this week, everyone's like, man, this really buys the Patriots a lot of time for their playing with Drake May. What if, yeah, I know you're predicting 3-0. What if they lose to Seattle, lose to the Jets? Now he's like back on the table again, I think, for week 4.
I completely agree. Let's say they lose I think they're going to win against Seattle.
Yeah, I kind of do too.
And it's hour two, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. You're going to hear Jerod Mayo, head coach of the Patriots, coming up about 15 minutes from now when he hits the podium. I think it's worth listening to. We'll see if he's got anything good. If not, we can ditch out and we can go back to talking about whatever. Robert Kraft, his Hall of Fame candidacy, which was written about today at ESPN. We were asking you earlier, should owners be in the Hall of Fame? Are you annoyed Robert Kraft isn't in the Hall of Fame? Why is he out? Again, 617-779-7937. I'm with you. Let's say they lose a close game against Seattle, and then they lose to the Jets on the short week on Thursday, and then they get smoked by the Niners. You're 1-3, and we all forgot about the week one win against Cincinnati.
Out the window at that
point. And starting Drake May week 5 at home against Miami. I always forget. Is it Miami and then Houston, or Houston and Miami?
Yeah, Miami first.
Miami week 5.
That's back on the table.
It's 1,000% right back on the only thing that's off the table now is Drake May, barring injury, starting before week 5. Because they will not start him against the Jets on a short week. They won't start him against the Niners, I don't think.
And 0-4 is off the table. Like, there is no chance that we go on 0-4.
But I thought there was a chance May could start this game this weekend against Seattle.
If week one
went differently than it did, and it was ugly, I thought there was a chance May would start the home opener. Obviously, that's off the table.
Well, and it's funny. I mean, I believe Al Pacino once said famously, it's a game of inches.
Mm-hmm.
If Jacoby Brissett throws a pick in the end zone, which he almost did, and Joe Burrow orchestrates a drive, you know, actually, depending on the butterfly effect, who knows if he even needs to, right? Because they ended up, scoring points in that drive.
It's a great point.
So now you take the points off the board, whatever. But you know what I'm saying? Like, say Joe Burrow leads a drive and the defense still looks really good. The offensive line at least looks somewhat competent, but they lose. And the guy that's not supposed to ever turn the ball over threw a pick in the end zone. I don't think he would start week 2, but there'd be a lot of conversation all week long. We'd be taking calls about, like, just play the kid. Let's see what you got out of him. But Hunter Henry breaks up that play. The defense is good enough to hold on. And Ramondre Stevenson literally runs the game out. Then you're like, all right, he's the guy. And Jacoby played well. Mayo's talking about he's our guy. And, like, that's fine. He's your guy for now. But every week, this is still going to be a topic of conversation.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think your feeling going into week 1, and I believe you feel this way coming out of week 1, Keith, and this is some of what we were asking Tom Curran yesterday. If you missed any of it, Audacy app, it's free, it's easy. Get it on your phone, take it with you wherever you go, AUDACY. You can also check it out on YouTube. Subscribe to WEEI, full interview with Tommy Curran. But we asked him about the plan for Drake May and how it's changed. I think you felt strongly about this as kind of a best-case scenario. Brissett doesn't play great. I think he played a little better than we expected.
Yep.
But Brissett doesn't play great. The offensive line looks better than we thought.
Yep, check.
Which it did.
Check mark.
They run. They play defense. And you look at it and go, okay, everything around the quarterback isn't as bad as we thought. So,
mm-hmm.
if you upgrade the quarterback, i.e. Brissett to Drake May,
yep.
things could go better. I don't think we're there yet. It's not going to happen this weekend. I think the Patriots, I'd agree with Curran, and I'd defer to him on this. I think they'd like to stick with Brissett as long as they can, but maybe the situation around May isn't as bad as we thought it was,
yep.
and maybe it's not as bad as, you know, the Patriots felt like it was, where they couldn't throw May out to the Wolves early on. That is right. encouraging.
And that's the thing, is they just need to, I guess, trust May, because a lot of the big talk out of preseason was, the offensive line is what they don't trust, and therefore they're going to go with Jacoby Brissett for as long as that can take them. But with Drake May, like, if this is still going to be, regardless who the quarterback is, because it's still just year one Drake May, I think long term, you're hoping he is more of a 4,000-yard passer, yep. more of a gunslinger type of guy. But for this year, because you're all about the running game and you're all about the defense, do you trust Drake May to not turn it over and then still mix in the occasional big play? Or because you're going to ask him to mix in the occasional big play, that's going to lead to a couple more turnovers, and then you're like, let's just go back to Jacoby Brissett because it's safer.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's a wider range of outcomes with Drake May, good
higher,
and bad.
Higher floor, lower ceiling.
Correct.
It's that
you know, it's exactly. And so there might be games where it's three picks and you never get out of your own way.
Yeah.
There also might be games where, you know, Will Levis was terrible this weekend.
He was real bad.
I think Will Levis had like one of these games last year, 4-touchdown game, where it's just on pure talent and pure ability, you get by for that week. Brissett can't do that. Brissett is not going to have a 3 or 4 touchdown, 300-yard game where he's out making a bunch of plays. Maybe I should take that last part
back. I was
going
to say, he ran way better than I thought he was going to, and those were big first downs that he picked up.
Yeah, and he wasn't Jaden Daniels or Lamar or Josh Allen or somebody like
that.
Well,
as Gerard Mayo said.
But, yeah, well, what did Gerard Mayo say?
He said he's the slowest black quarterback in the league.
Gerard Mayo's words.
That was Gerard Mayo's
not
words.
Not ours.
Nope.
He comes your way 10 minutes from now from the podium. You'll hear chestnuts like that, I'm sure. But, no, he picked up key first down. So I should strike that last part from the record. But Brissett's not going to have 300 yards and 4 touchdowns. He doesn't have that in him.
May
might also have a 4-pick game that loses you the game. Yep. And so I would have been okay going into the year rolling the dice on that. But through 1 week, they were right. I was wrong.
You would never do this, but it's almost like if you have the lead or it's a one possession game, you keep Brissett in. As soon as you get down 10, you're like, let's put in the guy that can throw it.
Throw May in
it's
there.
It's almost like, let's ask him to do it because, whatever. You throw a pick, now you're down 17-0, but maybe you'll throw a couple touchdowns.
Yeah.
You would never do it, but that's sort of the idea.
What does that do developmentally? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I understand the logic.
Uh-huh.
If you want to throw your way back in a game, Brissett ain't going to do it. Let's get to the phones here. Paul is in Abington. Go ahead, Paul. This is on our earlier discussion on Kraft's Hall of Fame candidacy. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Just over an hour in, and you guys are all over the place.
That's right.
It's our specialty.
Kraft to May to everything else. But anyways, that's the reason
football,
I'm part of my call, of course, is no, I understand. So First and foremost, if you guys talk to Curran, tell him not to give predictions anymore. Last year, he predicted 12 wins for the Patriots.
He did
don't
say
know where that would have come from.
He did say the wins were everywhere. He did say that.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So he got one wrong, and Paul. We can't ask about predictions. I mean, come on. Who amongst us hasn't gotten a prediction wrong?
Beginning of the year, he says this is a bad team, and now he's saying 5-3 over 8 games. So
that wasn't a prediction.
No, I'm with Paul. He predicted it. He called it 5-3. Yep. Yeah.
If everything in the NFL was reactionary right now, and we're not Jets fans, but if everything was reactionary, the Jets would have Tyrod Taylor in as their quarterback this week based off the last drive against the Niners the other night.
Okay,
that's
fair.
Point two. Point three, but big thing about Kraft is that if Brady and Belichick walk in first time, first ballot Hall of Famers and everything, which we expect, then the Spygate and Deflategate cannot be on Kraft because it's on all three of them. That was part of all three of them being a part of that.
Yeah,
so
Paul, we talked about this earlier, and he had a long time there.
He did.
You want to talk about being all over? He's like, you guys are all over the map.
You guys, oh my
we're
God.
All over the place. How dare you? I get what he's saying about if Brady and Belichick get in, and they both will, if they get in, well, then Spygate and Deflategate, how are you going to hold that against Kraft? At the ownership level, I get why the other owners are bullcrap at Robert because they feel like he was using his power and his influence to keep the league off of Brady as much as he could. Didn't succeed as well there as he did the first go-round in Spygate with Belichick.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where you get that pushback. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, I agree with that. If Spygate doesn't stick to Bill and Deflategate doesn't stick to Brady to keep him out of the Hall of Fame, how are you going to keep Kraft out based on that?
No, I don't. Yeah, right.
That's why I don't think it's what it's really about. It's about how bad he wants it, and how thirsty he is about it, and the pressure campaign.
Yep, I agree. But also, like, it's one of these things where it starts back with our original thought about just who's in the Hall of Fame and who should be in the Hall of Fame, meaning, like, owners? Probably not, but they are. But Tom Brady, greatest quarterback of all time. Bill Belichick, greatest coach of all time. Robert Kraft, I don't know. Well, even your top 10 owners of all time. Like, do you have that ready to go? Like, no,
yes.
But people have their quarterbacks ready to go. They
Eddie DeBartolo. Go. Yeah, okay, right, yeah. Ralph Wilson.
Yep, okay, good.
Art Rooney.
Okay.
Jerry Jones.
Mark Davis.
Al Davis. Yeah, the Davis tandem for sure.
Yep. The guy that got run out of Carolina.
If you're curious what we're talking about, it's up now at ESPN. Don Van Natta, DVN. Winners write history inside Robert Kraft's 12-year Hall of Fame quest. We'll get back to that in the noontime hour. Hi, that's Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo.
There you go.
Talking now at the podium. A little taste of what he's got going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious in that to follow that all year long as the Patriots are relevant. What's he talking about? What's he saying? You said, Keith, your immediate reaction when he was citing Madden rankings there.
Love it.
Not exactly Bill Belichick at the podium.
No, you wouldn't hear that from Bill, although he immediately worked for a fantasy football company after he hated fantasy football
this
for years.
True.
So
he's
maybe
now,
Bill
he's now
does
in these spots in these ads, yeah.
He might be aware of the Madden ratings now, for all we know. But he does.
I looked it up. Kenneth Walker, 88.
88's not bad, but definitely
it's a good Madden ranking.
After week one, though, you can maybe boost it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. They live update these things.
That's true.
So Kenneth Walker, yeah, he's a good back. He's not in that top 10 group. But neither was Ramondre Stevenson at the start, right? He was kind of pushed down those rankings. But, yeah, he's solid. They do have two good wide receivers. But it's also a very beatable team. Like, when we were going through the schedule before the year, before we even saw the win over Cincinnati, Seattle was one of a handful of games I thought that was kind of a 50-50. Like, all right, if they're going to win some games, the Seahawks is one of them. Also, a battle of two rookie coaches, which is fun because it could have been Belichick and Carroll, the two oldest coaches.
Yeah, very different. Could have been very different. That's true.
Yeah, they both went completely different directions.
So a few other things. They're going to name practice players of the week after wins.
Yeah, we can probably skip that.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder how much people appreciate that. Maybe the players appreciate it, though.
Joe Milton and Kayshon Booty on there.
It goes back to these two dichotomies with Mayo where it's like he's a player's coach. We've labeled him a player's coach. But then he's also talking about the conditioning. Your mind's going to give up before your body. Yep. Take him to the hill is something the players were saying. Take him out to deep water. These are all comments he just had. They're conditioning. Like, they were a well-conditioned fourth-quarter team that was still buzzing around for 1 week against Cincinnati, where the Patriots couldn't finish games with Bill Belichick. So, I don't know. Maybe we've been unfair labeling him a player's coach. That jumps out to me when he's talking over and over again about conditioning and how hard we're going to practice. That's not a player's coach.
No, because he also pushed back on that a couple of weeks ago. Right? The player's coach comes across as like, you know, letting the guys off easy, you know, not pushing them, not running, not conditioning, like all that. Like the players can do and say whatever the hell they want. And maybe it's not as disciplined. So you kind of push back on that. But the players can still like you. The players can want to play for you. But you can also be a tough coach. And it's funny, even we were talking about the dynasty earlier because of all the Robert Kraft stuff. But, you know, there were a lot of different interviews that a lot of different players did when they were talking about Gerard Mayo. Actually, you know, it wasn't the dynasty. It was some other feature that came up around that same time where they were referring to Mayo as sort of like mini Belichick, like as a player, right?
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God, like this guy is just like all the players, like Matt Light kind of like clowning on him a little bit. Because on any team that you're on, there are certain guys that are like, want to do more conditioning than others. They're like, this is what we're going to need. And there are other guys being like, oh my God, like, can we be done with this? So I'm guessing Mayo was one of those guys that was, as a player, kind of leading from the front, being like, hey, we need to put in the work now in order to get the results later, which is not the mentality of every player, but it probably is the right mentality for the players that become head coaches.
A couple other items. He said Javon Baker doesn't want to get into why he wasn't active for the game.
No.
Although he did says he has to continue to develop.
So this one you could read either way. The Instagram Live thing may have cost him the game on Sunday, but also, he might be last on the depth chart. Like, there's six wide receivers on the team. Five of them were active, and only four played. But if I was going to ask you right now, like, rank those guys in order, or at least the order you think the Patriots have them in, I bet Baker is sixth.
Yeah, I would have had him ahead of Kayshon Booty, but
so
we're nitpicking.
Maybe fifth.
Yeah, maybe. We're nitpicking at that point in time, and Booty didn't play anyway. I'm seeing now, because he's still talking, we decided to ditch out of that a little early. He did say he addressed the team about the Tyreek Hill situation. Mm. The captains addressed the team about it. That's all he chose to elaborate on. And then where he started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the 23rd anniversary. 23 years since 9/11, and he said this, and it's striking that they have players on the team that are too young. I mean, I didn't even think about that, but there are he's talking to the team, and there are players on the team that weren't even alive or are too young to remember it, which does tell you. I mean, it's 23 years ago. He was talking about this. He was in high school. I was in high school. He said they took everybody to the cafeteria. I was in the cafeteria when the first plane hit. Not that we had it on the TVs or anything, but you know, my coach came in and came down. I was had a study hall or whatever, and came into the cafeteria and they're like, "Hey, this is going on." Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
and we're all like, "Oh, that's crazy." We have no idea what's happening.
No.
Then I went to my next class, and then the next plane hit, and it's just it's a touchstone, obviously, for anybody who lived through it, even if you weren't directly impacted by it. But it's just wild to think about Mayo talking to some of these players who are too young or weren't even alive for 23 years ago, September 11th, which is crazy.
Well, I mean, the last coach that was here, Bill Belichick, was the head coach of the Patriots when that happened, right? Like, that's wild to think about. But he was the coach the 0-1 season.
Wasn't even his first year.
No, yeah. he was early in his second year as head coach.
Brady had not started a game.
Right. Like, it's wild to think about, but... Yeah, I was even thinking about that on the drive in today, about how many years it's been. And for anybody who's roughly our age, so you and I are both 40, we've both been alive longer post 9/11 than we were pre 9/11, which blows your mind,
because
we were 17.
That is crazy. Yeah.
Or I was 17. I think you were 17. We were both 17. It was senior year, 2 weeks into the school year. And I remember I was sort of a different setting because I was at a prep school, but I remember being in like the math building and sitting, like nobody was really in there. There's like a couple kids, and you're like, this is odd. Like, usually there's a little bit more people. Then I had a girl kid, Liz Groger, who I probably haven't talked to since then, comes in and is like, a plane just like flew into the World Trade Center. And you're like, what? So then you walk out of there.
But you don't know.
No, you have no idea what that means.
That's weird, but okay. Yeah. Like, that sounds horrible, but okay.
So then we walked over.
You don't realize the larger context.
Yeah, then it was like there's sort of like a, I don't even know what you'd call it, sort of like a rec hall, like, you know, like a place with like pool tables and TVs and stuff like that. And so we walk in there, and it's such like a mismatched group of kids. There's like freshmen, there's seniors, there's teachers, there's coaches. Just like whoever was in that area kind of gathered around speechless, watching all of the TV footage of it. And then it was like, nobody knew how to react. Also, going to St. Paul's is weird because you have a bunch of kids who are from New York City. You have a bunch of kids that you're finding out the stuff about D.C. So you have people that, you know, are from there, and everybody's trying to figure out like just all the connections that you had. So then they send everybody back to their dorms, and then they're trying to like make sense of it. School's canceled for the rest of the day.
That's what I was just going to ask. They must have sent you guys home.
Home was the dorm.
Well, that's true, but you didn't have school. No, Billy, where were you? You were in high school?
So I was in college.
You were in college.
I was in college. So it was funny because I just asked Terp, like, you know, hey, where were you? He's like, I was.
No, Terp is like one of the young Patriots players who wasn't alive. So I see Brian down there. No chance, Brian. Brian was one.
So I was Bunker Hill.
Yeah,
USC, the University of Southern Charlestown.
Yeah.
I was walking through the cafeteria to get to the bookstore. Yeah. And at that point, at one plane, it hit the building.
Yeah.
And I walked by, saw it, and got, oh, great, awesome. Somebody sent another friggin' bomb to the World Trade Center.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I was in line at the bookstore, and security came in, and he's like, drop everything you're doing and get out of here.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
and so they just sent you home on the spot.
On the spot. Security came in and cleared out the bookstore, cleared out the school. Literally, people left what they had in their hands to purchase on the ground. And then I remember being stuck in traffic trying to get out of there. No cell phone service.
You drive?
I was driving, okay. Yeah. I drove into school, so I was driving back to Malden. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I did is I put Stern on. Because Howard Stern was, he did a show. I don't even know how long he was on the air that day. But, like, cell phones weren't working, so you couldn't call your families to find out what the hell's going on. So I was getting my news from him while sitting in, like, jam traffic trying to go from Charlestown to Malden.
There's some wild stuff. I think I went back years ago, and I was one of these, like, Howard Stern, like, rabbit holes. And, like, listen to that. Like, that's on YouTube. Like, him reacting.
The full thing?
Yeah. Like, him really? Like, reacting to it live. There's also weird clips of... And it's, I don't know, like, if we were on the air, like, I don't know how you even react to it, but there's, like, a Regis and Kelly of them doing the show live, like, hearing it, like, being told in their ear, like, what's happening, and then them trying to, like...
In New York.
Talk about it. Yeah. They're in New York.
Yeah, right.
but then also trying, like, without having, like, how many details do you have? None. You have, like, two that you're being told, and then you're the one delivering this. Probably, I mean, I don't know how many millions of people watching that show back in the day. And, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that you can go and dig through, and all the different, you know, documentaries that have been made on this that has so much footage. Because we all remember sort of what, like, the TV cameras had, right? Like, and how sickening and scary that was. But then some of these documentaries have gone, you know, like, they have unearthed, like, everybody's footage. Because, like, you did have camera phones then, right? It was, like, very early. Like, they weren't good. Yeah. Like, they weren't, like, today's camera phones. But, yeah, you saw all kinds of coverage.
So it's interesting. So you're at a prep school, so people are boarding there. You're at college. I mean, Turpin, Brian, I can't even ask them. No. They were in their cradles.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, no, I'm at a, you know, a public high school in Vermont. We just got sent home, and that's all I did. I just went home and just watched the. Watch the news, but I went home and just watched the news all day. My recollection is, yes, I wouldn't swear by that, but I think we had school the next day. Yeah, I think so.
I think we may have. Yeah, I remember. I was bizarre too, because we're taking a journalism class, and it was you like had to get the New York Times, and it was like, so we had like a week of that, and you had to get the New York Times every day, and then like comparing like the headlines. So there's that. I think I have it somewhere. It's like. In giant bold letters, like the biggest letters they've ever used, I think, in the history of the New York Times, just said like attack, like U.S. attacked or whatever, and then they like a photo of it. I mean, it's terrifying.
So, 23 years ago today, and you know, Gerard Mayo addressing the team about it. He had Joe Cardona address the team about it. Mm-hmm. Joe Cardona's got two jobs. The second one's football, is what Mayo said. Some interesting stuff from the Patriots head coach today on a day where we never forget. It's Jones and Keith here on WEEI. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. We'll get to Misleading next.
It's time for Misleading.
You've heard the leads on the Greg Hill Show. You've heard these?
Of course I have.
I don't think they lead well.
Would you have gone with Shimes over yours?
Damn, I don't even remember what mine was, so.
On Jones and Keith.
We're coming up on High Noon here on WEEI, Jones and Keith.
We're close.
We get to Misleading every day at 11:45.
When the sun is at its apex.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
For that brief moment in time. Yep.
Wow, wow, wow.
Precisely. So that's coming up. Stay tuned for that. You know, I read yesterday.
What'd you read yesterday?
Yesterday was the last day where the sun set after 7 o'clock in Boston.
Really?
For the calendar year, not ever,
not ever.
But
thank God. No,
but really, yeah,
it's a real start
for the calendar year. It's the
what
last
does that mean for me? It's going to be dark sooner.
Yes,
got it.
Yeah, definitely, that's what that means.
That's probably for the best because they can tell the kids,
not just you, all of us.
Yeah, you like tell the kids, not just me. It's just in my house.
Yeah, that's a good point, Bill. Everybody, not just Keith.
Well, it does help though.
Oh,
if you have,
get to
if
bed.
You have all the kids, like, well, look how dark it is outside. You got to get the snooze.
No. This summer, my son is 6.
He's like, I'm up like, all night,
he's
baby.
Like, yeah, he's like, it's like, it's after 8 o'clock. He's like, it's still light out there, Dad. I'm like, I don't care. Look at the clock. Read the clock. So, yeah, no, that'll help for sure. But misleading each and every day. What'd you had a story that I missed this. Courtney, late in the show, I guess, shared an experience that she just had.
Yeah, I think it's pretty relatable across the board. So Courtney was telling a story today about how her husband, Santo, was at Trader Joe's.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, hey, do you need anything? She's like, yeah, get flowers. So he came home and he had two potted mums. He had, like mums. Comes in with mums. And she's like, don't take this the wrong way. Like, that's basically
good
how she started it.
Great
he's
start.
Like, what? He's like excited. He's like, I got these mums. Like, you wanted flowers. I got mums.
If Kathleen starts saying anything, if she starts anything with don't take this the wrong way, I'm already, seriously, I don't even need to hear it. I'm gone.
Not going
to
be great.
Yeah.
So then she went on to say how she has an apartment and those are really meant for more outdoor space. They don't really have a place to like dig a hole and like put those in or whatever. Like, and they need sun and all this other stuff. And he's like,
photosynthesis, all of that.
Yeah, it's complicated. Yeah. You guys may or may not get it.
Chlorophyll, but, more like borophyll.
She's like, no, I'm not make out with you right here in the middle of class. But so he was excited. He brought the flowers home. And I feel like, check mark, like he did it. He was asked to get flowers. He brought home flowers. And so that was the reaction of everybody else on the show. So Greg and Wiggy and Shine were like, Courtney, you wanted flowers, you got flowers.
All of her male counterparts said he did the right
thing.
And
she's like, no, no, no. She's like, I wasn't even mad at him. But then they were making it sound like she was. And she's like, I wasn't mad at him. And she's like, I posted it on Instagram and all the girls that followed me, they all like were laughing and they were all laughing. Mm-hmm. And so I have a funny I can relate, because I think like 10 years ago, the exact same thing happened to me. So I knew what she was saying, and I knew what they were saying. And to me, this
the
is
exact
just,
same thing, meaning you brought
she's
home
like, hey, can you bring home flowers?
A potted plant, yeah. not flowers.
No, I brought home flowers.
Like a stem of
same
flowers.
Same thing
yeah,
as Santo.
Yeah, a bundle of flowers.
Flowers are flowers.
What's the word I'm looking for? A bunch?
Bushel?
Bushel? Bundle?
Barrel.
Might be a barrel.
Barrel yeah, of yeah, flowers? Yeah. Hey, I got you this barrel of flowers. No, but like that is, to me, this is really just a lesson in being specific. If you want something, mm-hmm. be specific.
Yes.
Because he brought home flowers. I feel like he won that. He passed the test. Yeah. He got the flowers.
No, I agree. Marriage is a battle. He won.
He won that one.
He won that one. Give him that. Chalk that one up.
1-0 Santo.
Santo with a victory.
Yeah.
I don't know what the full scoreboard reads as, but that's a win for Santo.
Shime actually had the best analogy of
this.
Yeah? Because they're all throwing analogies out there, and I don't know if they all stuck, but Shime's was good. He was like, if you were calling somebody in the other room, right? And you're like, hey, bring me a screwdriver.
Yep.
And they came in with a flathead. And you're like, no, I need a Phillips. Would you be mad at them? Or would you be like, I should have specified. Yeah.
I said screwdriver, but you know what? I needed.
These flowers can't go in a vase. You're like, okay.
Okay, sorry about that.
But they are, in fact, flowers.
Yeah. I'm definitely with Santo on this.
Yeah.
Now, I feel like I've gotten into, when I first started dating Kat. I didn't get flowers often. Valentine's Day, it occurred to me, right?
It occurred to you on Valentine's
Day? That's what I'm saying, but that's it.
That's a good
I swear to God, I think that's it. When we first were dating, that's it. I wasn't like...
You don't want to overdo it. Don't want to overdo it.
No, you set the bar low, Keith.
And it's a fool's errand.
Okay, but hang on.
Sorry.
When you first started dating your wife,
yeah,
Lanny, when you first started dating, were you getting flowers like birthdays, anniversaries, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, like all, like I now do this for all of them,
yeah,
and I've been broken down to do it. But in the beginning, when we were first dating, Valentine's Day, that was it, I think.
Yeah, just big events.
Yeah,
it was something like that. Because it was
events
one time,
plural, though. He said that was events.
There was one time, yeah. You know, like birthday,
I'm saying event
stuff. Valentine's
tonight we made love.
Day,
anniversary.
Yeah, right.
Second time we made love.
Right, and then
flowers.
It got to the point where
I after we dated for 2 years, we finally made love. I went out and got her a flower.
I can't remember why I sent them to her work one time.
Wow!
But
they go, don't big time. Huh?
No. I said this like I said.
Romeo,
damn!
But it was like, what did he do? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so that's what I'm like. I'm like, I can't do this now because your coworker is going to think I'm messed up somewhere.
Cheater! He cheated!
Yeah. That's a sign. He's doing something.
He's sleeping or he's stepping out on you?
I just happened to stumble across a promo code for FTD that got me a deal or something.
It'd be great.
I saw the guy at the red light who was handing him out.
Yeah, I got a $10 from the guy under the bridge.
Yeah. I swear, the same guy in Sullivan Square has been doing that for at least 20 years. But
it's a fool's errand.
No, you should send the
they what if, die in like a day.
What if you send the potted plant to work? Like you said, what if you sent one of those to her work?
Like, now what do you do? She's like, well, this thing needs sunlight. Like, well, then take it outside. And then they were all disgusted with her. They were like, just like cut them out and like put them in something.
Oh, she showed up with one of those like hanging plants.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have hooks.
Put them in, what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah, put them somewhere in the house. I don't know. Okay, you said flowers.
That's right.
You said flowers. I got flowers. So I am now, I'm conditioned now. Any significant event, Billy, maybe it took me too long.
Flowers.
I get flowers, and my wife is now at the point where she goes, yeah, but I kind of want random flowers. I'm like, you want random?
What are random flowers? Oh, not like daisies, daffodils, sunflowers.
Well, no, I think it's some of that. It's like, hey, would you mix it up a little bit?
Types of flowers?
Yeah, would you mix
also-
it up? Random days.
I want them at a random time, but I want them to be these ones.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm saying, I think sometimes she's like, hey, lilies again.
I also like, it's such a racket
because
they die almost immediately.
Yeah.
The flowers.
So you buy more.
So you don't want to buy
the potted ones. I bet those.
The potted ones are actually great buy. Santo, if they're still hanging around, I'll take them. My wife would kill for some of those mums.
Good Dynasty League flower buy there. That'll live forever.
I just don't. Because then you get the place that has, like, a vase with it.
Sure.
And, like, they upcharge the hell out of
it.
If you ever get them delivered, like Romeo over here, Lanny. If you get
them, Don Juan.
If you get them delivered, that's another huge charge.
Because
I'm always thinking, I'm a frugal Fanny, Jones. So I'm always thinking about the cost.
A frugal?
Fanny. Frugal Fanny?
Fanny?
You ever heard of frugal Fannies?
I heard of frugal Franny. Is it Fanny?
I thought it was Fanny.
I've heard of frugal Fanny.
Is it Fanny?
Franny?
I thought it was Franny. Frugal
Fanny?
Frugal Lanny.
Frugal
Lanny. That's what it is. Yeah.
Frugal Fanny's fashion and shoe.
Fanny!
Oh, Fanny.
Don't add an R when there's not necessary.
Apologies all around. I thought she was a Franny.
But these things always die, and then you're like, all right, so what am I supposed to do? Like, get them on the way home from work, but then you can't be in the car for too long because then these things need water.
Well,
I'm not running around with, like, water bottles.
Not to throw this one in your face. You were at night. I was at night.
Yeah, tough.
All right, when do you get flowers then?
Great question.
When are you doing that?
Well, you don't.
You know you do. You get an edible arrangement. You can eat it.
Nice.
Don't have to worry about it wilting and dying.
Send it to her work.
Looks like a flower. It's actually a pineapple and a strawberry shaved.
It's a great point by Billy, though.
Yeah, it is.
You do something nice, you send it to her work, and everybody just assumes,
yeah.
What'd your boyfriend do? What'd he do?
What'd he do wrong?
He stepped out on you.
Big fight last night?
Yes, seriously.
What happened?
Yeah.
What happened there?
Who's the girl?
Uh-huh.
I knew it.
I knew it.
He was.
I knew he had a wandering
eye.
Must be
plural. Yeah. More than once. He did it more than once.
Yeah. Yeah. Something's problem.
Yeah, it's interesting. But now these random...
You get side eyes when I visit her at work.
Yeah, seriously.
I feel like flowers aren't even appreciated anymore is my point. It's like now I need to do it randomly or it's not even appreciated. It's just expected. It's just something I got to do.
No. I think he was actually probably dead on with the mums.
Yeah.
You get way longer lasting life out of them.
Very seasonal, isn't it?
Super seasonal.
Yeah.
And we're in that season. You get 2 months of those suckers out there.
Good job, Sancho.
Versus like 2 days of
you
like
stick
these...
a plate underneath it, doesn't leak anywhere. You're good.
Bingo.
Leave it in the house.
Stoop.
These roses, they're like dead. Dead in a day.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. Sometimes you go and like you're like, all right, I'm going to do this really nice thing. I'm going to do this great gesture. I'm going to go buy flowers. Mm-hmm. You go and you look and all these different... I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but you go to some of these places, they all look awful. Right, like they look like they're already like drooping down.
Yeah,
you could probably help them out with that. But there's like there's
my good pals over at Northeast Men's Health.
They all need something over there.
Yes,
but like
they all need a test dose.
Yeah, they do
seriously
because like some of like anytime you see like a little bit of like brown in the flower, like
don't
I can't
want
bring
that.
This home.
No,
so yeah, it's not my favorite thing to get, but you know.
Go to the supermarket, buy flowers.
So you know what you do.
Here's another little tip for you.
Yeah, please.
You go to a supermarket, you grab a produce bag. Put it on the bottom so you're not like lugging around wet stems.
Oh, I like that.
Wow.
Yeah, because my car's covered in wet stems.
How often does Billy buy? I feel like Billy's buying flowers a lot. There's a lot.
Flower guy.
I wonder what he did.
Yeah, Billy.
What do you think he did?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Not good.
I mean, look at me. The ladies are just lined up.
What's going on?
That chubby guy in radio. Ugh.
Love that.
I feel like Billy's buying too many flowers. I feel like that's what did he do? It's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, we all agree with Santo on this one.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I would say I agree.
Yeah. It's the thought that counts.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
It's a phrase for a reason. That's
Tale
a saying for
time.
A reason. Yes, exactly.
Consistent as gravity.
That's misleading here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Let's get back to Robert Kraft. His Hall of Fame candidacy, it's back in the news because he's pushing for it. He's driving hard for it. And for some reason, they won't put him in. Why? Does he deserve to get in? Why isn't he in? Do you care? That's next here on Jones and Keefe.